If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going, we're going to end up back in Galatians and then Corinthians here in a few minutes. But as we've been doing on this kickoff study of the new year of 2023 and just talking about examining ourselves, we started last week looking particularly at the fruit of the Spirit and been looking at the fruit of the Spirit being as evidence of our Christian faith, of us being in Christ. And when we're in Christ, we will bring forth fruit. And as we can do that. Let's look at Galatians 5 again, and we'll start this morning by this reading and likely coming back to it. But Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we've been looking at some of the fruit of the Spirit here and just thinking about our own lives, and as we've examined ourselves, and we pray that God will just bring the fruit of the Spirit from our lives, and that whatever comes our way, whatever comes against us, whatever trials we may face, whatever battles or hardships or even hurts, pray that the Spirit of God will work in our lives so that we might respond in the Christian manner, that we might respond as Christ would have us respond, that we might be that example, be thou an example of a believer this morning, which tells us plainly that, you know, believers respond differently than the world. And so I'm not, as we look through the fruit of the Spirit, we won't go through them individually, or at least I don't think we will. But not so much as a list to check off and say, you know, I've got that done, I'm good here, I'm good there, and move on through the list. But just as fruit just naturally grows from a vine, that's what we look at. Lord, as we are connected to you, Lord, that your Spirit would work in our lives and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. So we're not so much focused on the gifts of the Spirit as we like to talk about so often, but we're focused here this morning on our own examining our own lives and seeing that as we respond to the world, as we respond to things that come upon us, that we respond in a Christ-like manner. And, you know, whether it be, you know, some unkind thing that someone said about us or even to us, something maybe an untrue. Anybody ever had anything untrue said about you? You can gotta raise your hand if you don't want to, but I have. Something slanderous, something even that would hurt our reputation in some way. And, you know, sometimes our reaction could be that of despondency or discouragement or anger. You ever responded in anger? Well, should we raise our hands on that one? Sometimes my first response is anger. But, you know, I've learned that it took me a while, but don't react by your first response so often. Because sometimes if something happens, you know, I can think of something, some things that's taking place in my life that was hurt, you know, and my first response may be anger or discouragement, but let's let the Spirit of God have its work in our life. And we see, you know, that the Spirit of God will begin to enlighten us and we'll begin to look at things differently. A lot of times I'll look at the situation and my first thought is, how does this impact me? This is bad toward me. I don't like the way this injures me. And then if we'll let the Spirit of God just work in our lives and begin to speak to us and be patient, and then before too long we'll begin to, that'll switch. And we'll begin to see how that thing, whatever it might be, is impacting that other individual. And it is our heart at that point that we would help them in their lives. Amen. And so, we just pray that the Spirit of the Lord would have its, work. I was listening to, I think it was R.C. Sproul this week, and, He was talking about charity. He was talking about the love of God. And he referenced a book by Jonathan Edwards. It's actually a series of sermons, because after he said it, I went and tried to find it, and I actually found it. I've got this app through the Farmville Public Library called Hoopla. Maddie set it up for me. And I can go in and I can either check out an audio book. I highly recommend it if you've never. You got to have a library card. So if you've got a library card, you can download this app. And they've got a lot of good stuff there, a lot of audio and different things. Well, I went in there looking for this book. Well, I found the audio of it. It's called Charity and Its Fruits. So I started listening to the audio. And I usually do pretty good listening to books. You know, it's, I got an hour every day. Going in, well, 2 hours total, going in, coming, back home in the evenings as well. And so I downloaded this thing and I started listening to it. Well, if you've ever listened to Jonathan Edwards, wow. I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm trying to, of course, you know, sometimes when you listen to something, your mind just sort of drifts off. So that wasn't working for me. So I said, well, forget the audio. Let's try something else. So I went back again. I actually found the book. And so I downloaded the book and began to read it. And in this book, he talks about charity and its fruits. And so he says this. He says, the spirit of Christian long-suffering and of meekness in bearing injuries is a mark of true greatness of soul. I mean, know that to be true. It shows a true and noble nature and real greatness of spirit, thus to maintain the calmness of the mind in the midst of injuries and evils. Amen. So, as I was reading through this book, of course, you know, I just recently gave up refereeing. My knees just couldn't take it anymore. And Chell's tired of hearing me whine about that, because I like doing it. I don't know why I like doing it. Who in the world likes to get yelled at every Tuesday and Friday night in a gym of a couple thousand people? And, you know, you make one group mad and then the other make the other group mad. And it's just, there's no pleasing everyone there. And, well, anyway, in refereeing, we had this saying, says, as a referee, you got to keep your head while everybody else is losing theirs. Well, you know what? It same holds true for that of a Christian too, doesn't it? Amen. That when everybody else is in an uproar, we pray that the peace of God would be shining forth from our life. Whether it be an injury, whether somebody has hurt us in some way, that as Jonathan Edwards says here, and I'll just go ahead and say this, that when I've started reading the book, for some reason I could understand it better. Quarter, some of those big words, you know, you got to deal with in some of the ancient writings, and whether it be the Puritans or whoever it is, where Jonathan Edwards was like that. And when I began to read it, it began to make more sense to me, more so than listening to it. And it is that of the greatness of soul. I love that phrase, greatness of soul. Not in and of ourselves this morning. We're just talking about, Father, help us to respond as you would have us to. Whatever the injury is, whatever the problem might be, Father, we pray that our spirit would be in control. Amen? Remember what Solomon says over here in Proverbs chapter number 16. Amen? This great wisdom literature that we love to go to and read. Solomon says this. He says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Amen. Can you see this morning how this flies in the face of the current trend of our day? It doesn't take you long to be scrolling through some social media or some platform, whether it be Facebook or something, where somebody has tweeted or posted something and what they want to do is they want to let the world know that there's no one else like me, in a sense that I'll speak my mind. I don't care what you think. I don't care who it hurts. And I don't care what kind of trouble I might get in. I'm going to let it fly. And we see that, I guess they're putting it out there as a warning to don't mess with me because I ain't going to hold back. Well, that doesn't show a control of the spirit. Amen. When the Bible talks about us and what it is to have true wisdom or to have true control, it says he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. That sounds like a contradiction in terms, doesn't it? When we think about a mighty person, we think about someone that can back up what they say. Not only are they may have the mouth, but they've got the brawn to go with it. Well, the Bible tells us those that are slow to anger are better than the mighty. And then he says that they that are able to rule their own spirit, or those that have temperance, those that have the ability to control their own spirit, than he that taketh a city. I mean, so when Jonathan Edwards is talking about this greatness of soul, that's really what he's referencing, just as Solomon was. Jonathan Edwards goes on to say this. He says, men that have the spirits, their spirits heated and enraged, rising in bitter resentment, when they are injured, act as though they thought some strange thing had happened to them, whereas they are very foolish in so thinking, for it is no strange thing at all, but what is only to be expected in a world like this. Amen. Isn't that what Jesus told us? Amen. Isn't that what the apostles wrote about? Even Peter, when he said, listen, don't think it's strange when you fall into all manners of temptations. Don't think it's strange when trials come your way. Don't think it's strange when things get hard. Because in this life, you will have persecution. In this life, you will have trouble. Amen. But thankfully this morning, he didn't stop there, did he? He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. We're serving an overcoming God this morning. We're serving one that, we can put our trust in. And so as we as Christian, as we keep our focus on God and our relationship with God, amen, no matter what might come our way, keep focus on your relationship with the one. Keep focus on being attached to the vine. Amen. Keep focus. Now you say, well, you know, you're making it sound like we can just be disconnected at every whim and every notion. I don't mean to point that out this morning, but you and I both know, and we've experienced it in our life, that there's times when we've let that closeness with God slip. Amen. And there's times when we begin to see our responses and how they're so different. I'm just telling you this morning to not deceive ourselves. Amen. To really step back and look at our lives and say, Father, am I responding the way I did when I first believed? Father, am I still responding when someone hurts me or someone comes hard against me? Father, am I responding as you would have me to respond? And so if the answer to that is no, then my advice to you is not to just go back and work on that one thing. My advice to you is just fall on your knees and get back reacquainted with the vine. Amen. My response to you is that to draw nigh unto God. And he said, I will draw nigh unto you. And that spirit of the living God will begin to work in our lives, that we cannot allow matters to disturb the calmness of our spirit. We cannot allow situation to break in and disturb that fellowship that we have with God. They can destroy our reputation. They can hurt us economically. They can injure us physically, but they cannot separate us from the love of God. Amen. They cannot separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. We have this morning an inheritance in heaven. Amen. As Jesus told us many times, especially there on the Sermon on the Mount, as he was talking to all those that had gathered together on that hillside that day, and he told them this when he was talking about the looking or laying up for themselves the treasures in heaven. He says this in Matthew 6 and 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, and you know the rest, don't you? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. We have this morning an inheritance in heaven. An earthly-minded man proves that his treasures are below. A heavenly-minded man shows that his treasures are above. Even those things that are below, those treasures upon this earth, they are so fleeting. They are so uncertain. They can be here today and they can be gone tomorrow. Your 401k could be diminished by lunchtime tomorrow. And if that's where our treasure is, there goes our peace and there goes our joy along with it. But if our treasures are on the things above, if we've got our eyes fixed, if ye have been risen with Christ, Paul says to the Colossians, he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections, he says. We're self-examining as we go into this new year. And while we're doing that, we might as well ask ourselves the question, and I'll do it for myself as well, where are my affections set? Are they on things above? Are they on earthly things? Are they on things that have eternal reward? Or are they on things that can just fly away and be gone? How many knows the worldly fame can be here 1 second and gone the next? I mentioned a while ago I refereed basketball. And if you want to talk about popularity fleeting, it can go real fast. I've had half a gym cheer me and tell me how great I was 1 second, and then on the very next whistle, curse me to die. I'm not kidding. you'd be surprised. I've had them curse me with the last breath. I think I might have told you once before, I was in the gym one night, and I blew the whistle, and I made a call, and someone didn't like it, and I heard the man up there in the bleachers, going like this, and he's yelling at me and telling me how horrible I am. I turn around and look at the guy, and there he is. He's got an oxygen tank. He's got this thing on his nose. And I'm sitting there thinking, dude, you might want to keep that breath. I mean, that seemed like it was hard to come by. Don't use it to curse me. But that's the way the world is. That's the way the fame of the world is. It can just be here and be gone. But we want to set our affections. Set our affections on thing above. It's the same thing that Jesus says when he was talking to Peter. When Peter, if you remember how Peter rebuked the Lord as he began to tell him about the things that he was going to suffer and he would have to go to Jerusalem and how he was going to die upon the cross. And Peter rebuked the Lord and said, Lord, be this thing far from you. And Jesus looked at Peter and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, my adversary. Thou art offense to me. Thou art an offense because thou savorest the things that be of man and not of God. Peter, you've got your affections on the wrong things. Amen. You've got your eyes looking in the wrong direction. So we're all this morning, we're called to bear our injuries. We're called to bear our sufferings. We're called to bear our griefs and our pain with patience, with love, with gentleness and long suffering. These fruits of the Spirit should be part and parcel to the Christian life, should they not? Man, that as we have drawn nigh unto the Lord, that God has spoken to us, and that we too, as Peter said, look what how Peter says it there. Before we leave that, let's read it directly over in 1 Peter chapter number 4 when he said these words. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. That sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? The fiery trial. He's not talking about something here. He's talking about some heat. There's some really strong adversaries coming against him here. He says, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial or the fiery test. Is the same word that's used there, which is to try you. To try you. It does speak of a test, doesn't it? It speaks of putting something, putting it to proof. Or sometimes that same word is interpreted temptation. And it's not so much temptation as you're being tempted to do evil, but temptation in the sense that we are being tested. We are being put to the test. And so Peter says, listen, beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now I highlighted the next two words. I don't know when I did that, but I've done it at some point. But rejoice. So we could say this morning. Don't think it's strange, but rejoice. Rejoice for what reason? For this reason. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Our Lord suffered falsely. Our Lord was slandered. Our Lord was accused. You remember they called him a glutton. They called him a winebibber. Slandering him. All false charges. Our Lord was above criticism. Sometimes we're not. I get mad if I'm criticized and I deserved it. It used to aggravate me when they yelled at me when I missed a call. Not that I didn't miss them. I missed them. That's a great thing about refereeing. You can miss them, but you just got to what they call sell it. I can be wrong. I just got to convince you that I'm not. That's refereeing. I try not to do that. If I was wrong and the coach fussed at me, I'd try to go say, yeah, I blew it. I missed that one, coach. You can do that once. You can't do it all night. It's the only profession where you got to be perfect and get better is what they say. But in our Christian walk this morning, there are times when we're not above criticism, but they mocked our Lord who was perfect. They mocked and criticized him, and our Lord has given us his Spirit, and he calls us this morning to allow the Spirit of God or to nurture and to cultivate those fruits in our lives that the Spirit will produce. And so we're letting the Spirit of God have its work in our life. Amen. We're just as Jesus told them there, in John's gospel, he said, you know, a servant is not above its master. They persecuted me, he said. They're going to persecute you too. And so this morning, as we think about the fruit of the Spirit and as we examine our lives and we look at the situations that we go through, Father, it's our desire that we go through them as you would. We can't get so concerned this morning about what other people are doing that we forget to consider the fact that we are to be doing or responding as a Christian. And let's examine ourselves. Let's be real. Let's don't deceive. We have a great ability to deceive ourselves sometimes, don't we? Convince ourselves that I'm just like I was before. That's nothing slipped. Man, let's really look at our lives. Are we allowing situations to get in and hurt us? Have we allowed past hurts to build up resentment? But let's allow situations to teach us. Teach us about the Holy Spirit. Teach us about, let it edify. Let it build us up. God, help us to grow. Help us to be in control. Temperance. Self-control. And so as we think about the fruit of the Spirit, we were just singing earlier about the Lord being our protector, and we think about that in our current climate of this world and in our nation and on our job, wherever we may be. You know, God is still our protector, isn't he? Man, you remember when the Lord spoke to Abraham over there in Genesis, when God spoke to him, he said, Abraham, he said, don't fear. Fear not. I am your shield. I am your reward. Amen. I'm your shield, and I am, matter of fact, didn't he say it this way? I'm your exceeding great reward. So we're looking to heaven. We're looking to where our treasures be, where moth and rust can't corrupt, or thieves can't break through and steal. But the Lord says, I'm your shield. I'm your protection. I'm able to cause those fiery darts to fall by the wayside. Man, when you think about a shield as a soldier, you know, I guess it was Apostle Paul there in Ephesians 6 when he starts laying out that armor of God, and he starts talking about, you know, the having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and having on that helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, and all these things. And he says, and keep the shield of faith. Amen. Make sure you've got your shield. The shield can protect everything. It can protect us from the attacks from behind. It can protect us from the front. God, help us to have that shield of the faith. Amen. That is our protection. So when we think about this love and we think about the fruit of the Spirit, I don't think it's any coincidence this morning that the Apostle Paul, when talking about the fruit of the Spirit, that he starts with that love. That's pretty big, isn't it? Amen. The fruit of the Spirit, first listed, love. Greek word there, agape. We've heard that, right? Some interpretations bring it out as charity. So can we say this morning that that is the chief virtue of a believer? Man, just as Jesus says, by this shall they know you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. Now, I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes it's hard to talk about love because that's all I hear about anymore. Love, love, love. I mean, I don't know if there's a small town in Virginia that they don't have a love sign somewhere. They've all got it. And they're all taking pictures around it. But do we really know what it is? Man, is the way the world is defining love really love? Or do we go back to the Word of God and see how God has given it to us? Man, one of the most popular, I guess, passages of Scripture or chapters, of course, is that what we call the love chapter, right? Let's go to the love chapter this morning. Let's dare to go there over here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And we're going to look at a few verses here with respect to love. As the Apostle Paul has already told us there in Galatians, he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, and so forth, on down the line. But yet still that first chief virtue is that of love. And so let's go to Paul's explanation of Christian love, and it is found here in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, he doesn't start with a definition here. What he starts with is love's importance. So you want to know how important love is? Well, let me tell you this morning. Well, better yet, let's let the Apostle Paul tell you. How important is love? It's so important that though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I am as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Love is so important that I can speak with eloquence. You know, we put a lot of, I guess, emphasis on someone that's, I love someone that speaks well. I love to hear someone that can just, you know, let her fly. And you know, we talk about that. And, you know, they can make, you know, $10,000 an hour on the circuit, just traveling around. Those people, they can just speak. You know, they just speak so well. Well, here, as important as it might be, and I'm not trying to say it's not, but without love, it's just noise. That's what Paul, so first off, we're talking about the importance. How important is it? It's so important this morning that you could have the tongues of men and of angels, but if you didn't possess charity, you're becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That's pretty important. Well, we don't stop there. How important is love or charity? He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. How important is this charity that you talk about? How important are the fruits of the Spirit that's coming out of our lives? They're so important that they're more important than the gift, right? So we're not talking about the fruit, we're talking about the gift now. The gift of prophecy. He says, I could have the gift of prophecy, and I could understand all mysteries. You might have everything, I don't know anybody that has this, but you might have every mystery in the Word of God understood. You might be able to stand up and speak about it eloquently. You can just let it flow out until everyone is so mesmerized by every word that comes out of your mouth. And you can just break it down. You can, chapter and verse. But the Apostle Paul tells us that if you can have the gift of prophecy, you can understand all mysteries, and you can have all knowledge. He even says you can have all faith. Now, what's strange about this is the example he uses. Because I've heard this example before somewhere. Have you? What example did he use? He says you can have enough faith to remove a mountain. Somebody else gave us that example, didn't they? Yeah, Jesus did. I think probably the Apostle Paul had this in mind. Amen. He, under the leading of the Spirit of God, goes back to the words of Jesus when he was talking about that mustard seed of faith. Amen. If you got faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you could speak into this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And Paul says, you could have that much faith that you can do the ultimate as our Lord had given us. But if you don't have charity, what's he say? I am nothing. God, let your love be in our life. Lord, let your love be shed abroad in our lives. God, let us be attached to the vine this morning. God, let us respond as you would. Let's go on a little farther. And though I bestow all my goods, how important is love? Though I bestow all my goods to the feed the poor, you can be the most philanthropic. You can write that down if you can spell it. I looked it up this morning. Philanthropic person out there. That was eloquent words. And it's said in love today. But yet you could be the most giving person. I looked the word up, philanthropy. And I was able to look and see the top 10 philanthropists that's of our day. And they've been giving money to this cause and to that cause. Oprah Winfrey made the list, and Warren Buffett was on there. I haven't seen Michael Jordan on there, Serena Williams, and all these people that have given all these large amounts of money. But you know what? If they don't possess the love of Christ, you know what that's profiting them? Nothing. What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about the importance of charity. We're talking about the importance of love. And he says, you can give all your goods to feed the poor. And though I give my body to be burned, we're talking about a death of a martyr. The ultimate sacrifice to give your life to a cause. See, right here is when we get into the whole thing of those that will strap something onto their chest and go to a marketplace for the cause of their religion and say, oh, I'm dying the death of a martyr. See, they don't have the love of God. And you can die the death even of a martyr of a true cause. But if you don't have the love of God, it says, it profiteth me nothing. So there's the importance of love. You can be giving everything. You can have all knowledge. You can be an eloquent speaker. You can have enough faith to move a mountain. But if you don't have love, that's why later on Paul's going to tell him. In fact, I think it's in 14 when he says 14:1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. It's not that he has a problem with spiritual gifts. He wants them to desire them. But follow after love. Follow after the charity. And that word follow after, it's the same word that's used with respect to the Apostle Paul before he was the Apostle Paul, but he was Saul. And when he went out to persecute the church, and he went after them with a vengeance. He went after them with gusto. He went after them with all that he had, with all his might. Matter of fact, remember what the book of Acts described him as? He wreaked havoc in that first century church. Why? Because that's how he went after the first century church. Well, now he's using that same word here with respect to love. And he says, he doesn't say this, but it's what he has in mind. Just as much as I went after the believers of that first century, he says, you pursue love in this same manner. Go after it. Follow after it. Pursue it, he says. Chase it down. So we go from how the importance of it. Let's look quickly. I'm going to go quickly. What it looks like. What does true charity look like? What is the love of God? We've already established its importance. What does it look like? And I'll just read down through these just for the sake of time. You've heard it enough and you've read it enough, but I'll invite you maybe on your own this week to go back and look at this. I mean, because it talks about what love is, what it looks like. And here it is. He says, charity suffereth long and is kind. So he starts off right from the start with long suffering, right? And that what suffereth long is, long suffering. You want the definition of long suffering? There it is. Suffereth long. It means you don't suffer short. You suffer long. And so what does that do? It actually links us back to Galatians 5 when we were looking at the fruit of the Spirit there. And he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then he says, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. So it's like this. It's like every other fruit of the Spirit comes out from love. It's like love is the driving impulse or the power behind all righteousness. The love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts. Isn't that what Jesus said when that, what was the lawyer come running to him? Said, what's the great, matter of fact, the Bible says it came to him, tempted him. Says, good master, what's the greatest commandment? What did Jesus say? He says, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love God. And then he says this, the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. In these two rest all the law and the prophets. Love God. Love each other. Remember that Gaither song came back, what, in the 90s? Loving God, loving each other. Amen. That's Paul clarifies that later in Romans when he's talking about love and what it looks like. And he says, as he really is talking about how that all other virtues flow out of the love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart. Look what he says over there in Romans chapter number 5. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience or trust. We learn to trust. We're tested. Our faith is proven, and we learn trust in God. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So now we're way past lists now, aren't we? Man, we're way past marking this off, marking off love, marking off joy, marking off peace. We're talking about the Holy Ghost being shed abroad in our hearts. Man, and then the whole reason of this new covenant, this new and living way, amen, that he would write his words in our heart and in our mind, and that we would walk according to his ways. Man. So love is that driving impulse. It is that the love of God, the love God, love each other. I guess I think I heard, maybe it was Chuck Swindoll, I heard put it this way, and I've never forgotten it. But he started talking about our horizontal relationships. And that is each other, right? On the horizon, on the plane. And so as we look at our horizontal relationships with people, they flow out of our vertical relationship with God. Amen. So I can love God. And if I love God, and James makes this clear to us, and John especially, when John's talking about the love of God, he says, you know, if we love God, we're going to love each other. Amen. We're going to love the body, especially those of the household of faith. We're going to have that love one for another. But then also that love's got to have to flow. It's going to flow to our enemies. I mean, it's going to flow to those who spitefully use us. It's going to flow out to those that are mocking us. I mean, why? Because we know this morning as we sit here that those people oppose them their own selves. Amen? And that they're deceived. They need God. They need the love of God. They need the presence of the Lord. And so as we look at this, the heart of this Christian ethic of love, we see what it looks like. He says it back into 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read it and then we're going to stop. How does it look? It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Doesn't boast. It's not prideful. It's not puffed up. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. The love of God does not behave itself in an unbecoming way. And toward those that the love is directed. You know, I can't say I love you then give you the smack down. Can't do it. That's not love. And the husband that says he loves his wife and then abuses that woman, that's not love. Why? Because the love of God does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Our world needs a good dose of verse 6, doesn't it? Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Amen. True charity does not rejoice in unrighteousness. You know, I could spend some time on that, but we'll go on. Beareth all things, or covers. It's a word of covering. Not so much, you know, we're not talking about being deceptive. We've already established the fact that the love of God is rejoices in truth. It's not a deceptive, but love of God does not rejoice at the fall of someone else, does it? Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but where there is prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Charity is that enduring. It's something to think about how, as we read down through what love is, we begin to think about how Christ has responded to us, right? We think about long-suffering, suffering long. You know why the Bible tells us to be long-suffering? Because God has been long-suffering with us. You know why Scripture tells us to forgive others? Because we've been forgiven a lot. Amen. I know that God has been long-suffering with me. I'm thankful for the long-suffering of God. I'm thankful that He is a patient God. So God has suffered long with us. God has demonstrated that long-suffering to man. He shows His love through His patience. So as we examine ourselves this morning, and we see, we ask ourselves, be true to yourselves today. Father God, is your love shining forth through me? Am I responding as you would have me to respond? You know, you've been in church long enough. You know what the Spirit of God expects of us and it looks in our life. I'll just be honest with you this morning. There's been times when I've looked at my life and just said, Lord, I feel adrift. God, bring me back. Lord, bring me back. Lord, bring me to my knees. Lord, let me enter into the holy place. As a preacher this morning, I can't lead others to the holy place unless I've been there myself. I mean, I can't lead you into the presence of God unless I've been in the presence of the Lord myself. And so there's times when we feel that drift, and I pray the prayer, Lord, just bring me back. Lord, let me return to my first love. God, let me have that love that I first experienced. You remember when you first got up from that altar? I mean, I'd have give up anything for God. I mean, you know, we've been carrying around that load of sin for so long, and I didn't go to some three-step program. I mean, I got up and I can remember that week. I had to go back to them people that I'd been partying with the week before. And I mean, it wasn't that easy. Because they're like, well, we're going out this weekend? Well, no. I was going back to prospect, but anyway, that's a different story. Why? Because I had a new love. Man, I had a new affection. My attention was somewhere else. When I could that week, I remember I'd steal away in prayer. And I'd say, Father, thank you for forgiveness of sin. Lord, thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you were so patient with me. Lord, you were so long-suffering with me. God, what is it in my life, God, that I need to turn loose of? Amen? Is there some things you turned loose of back then that you've taken back hold of again today? Let me tell you, that shows a drift. Now, I mean, I know there's some things that we grow in our maturity in the Lord, and there's some times that, you know, who was it? I remember Brother Gary used to preach about he loved to fish, and, you know, he'd like, I wonder if I can still fish as a Christian. And he told the story, you know, he'd go, and he was glad to find out that one of the ministers that he was under went and fished. He's like, thank you, Lord, I still get to fish. And so he was willing to give up fishing, I guess. I mean, God hadn't called us to give up fishing. He's just kind of changed the bait around a little bit. Amen. Now he wants to, says, I'll, just as he told his apostles, I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your spirit. God, let your spirit convict us this morning. Let the light of your spirit, Lord, let that look into our souls. Lord, don't let this be dependent upon some method of my delivery today. That I say the right word and the right pitch and emphasize the right situation, God. But let your spirit, Lord, look at our heart. Because God, it is our desire, Lord, that our lives would please you. God, that we as a body here at Bread of Life Fellowship, Lord God, that, Lord, we would be a city set on a hill that could not be hid. Not just because we can get a prayer through, but Lord, because of our love. Not just that we have great faith, because you've already told us this morning, we could have enough faith to move a mountain, but if we're not showing the love of God, it doesn't profit us anything. We are nothing. Lord, let us take these words in our heart this week. Lord, examine us by your Spirit. Lord, let us draw nigh unto you. God, take us back. Bring me back. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Thank you, Lord. This altar's open. If you want to come pray, please come pray. If you need prayer, we'd love to pray with you as well.